Take your Bible, if you would, please, and find once again the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 will be our text today. Galatians chapter 5. I do plan on turning you in your scripture, so I hope you have a Bible, one that you can see. Chapter 5, verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Come down, if you would, to verse number 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But, what's that next little word? By. I hope your Bible says by. By. By is an important word. Circle it, underline it. But by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Would you read that out loud with me, please? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We have taken from Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, our theme for this series. When you come to the 20th verse of Galatians chapter 2, Paul is communicating to the churches of the region of Galatia about this life which he now lives. It's different than the life that he used to live. This life that he is now living is what Paul is writing about, is the justified life, or a life of salvation. It is a life of being born again. It's the Christian life. It's the Christ life. This is a life that began as the Apostle Paul put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Look, if you would, at verse number 16 of chapter number 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have, what's that word? Believed. Salvation is belief. It's belief in the Lord Jesus. It's not work. It's not effort. It's not merit. It's not good deeds. It's belief. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the, say those three words, faith of Christ. So Paul is communicating to the churches of Galatia this new life that he has. This new life that is polar opposite of the life in which he used to live. Paul used to live a life where he tried to keep the law to be justified. Those are Bible words, important words. But here's in essence what he was saying. I used to try by my own effort to become righteous. I used to try by doing good things to arrange myself to where I could find salvation or that I could be approved of God. I used to be counting on myself to get to heaven. He says, I no longer live like that, whereas I count on myself, because there was a day I was traveling a road called the Damascus Road. And on that Damascus Road, I met somebody whose name is Jesus Christ. At this time, he had already been crucified, he had been buried, and he had risen again. At this time, he had already ascended to the Father, and the Holy Spirit of God had already indwelt those believers upon the earth. The church had been birthed, and the gospel was being preached everywhere. Paul, before my name was Paul, was Saul. I hated the preaching of that gospel. I hated that new way. I hated that man they called Jesus because he wasn't a front to me, an aggravation to me. Don't you dare tell me that some son of a carpenter is more righteous than me. I live every day trying to do good. I live every day keeping the law. I've been bred by the best. I've been trained. I have disciplined my body, my mind. You will not find anybody more regiment than me. Nobody that is striving to be better than me. And all of a sudden, you're telling me some carpenter out of Nazareth is going to be some kind of blessing to me. Parentheses, time out. He's not just some carpenter. He's the God man. Paul hated him until he met him. Boy, I find a lot of people hate Jesus till they meet him. And then when you meet him, you think, why would I have ever hated him? And on that Damascus road, Paul humbles himself. And in that moment, he puts his faith and his trust in his declaration as to Jesus being the Lord and the Son of God. He says in that moment, he was brought to a position where he was justified, where he was redeemed, where he was born again. And now the Apostle Paul will tell you, I don't live a life now where I'm counting on myself to go to heaven. I live a life now where I'm fully counting on Jesus and Jesus alone to get me to heaven. That, my friends, is called the faith life. That, my friends, is called the Christian life. That's how you become a believer upon the Lord. And this is the life now that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Galatia about. And this is a life that begins with faith, but it's also a life that continues by faith. Look, if you would, please, chapter number 3 of the book of Galatians. Find, if you would, verse number 11. I'm going to drill and drill and drill this into your mind and your heart and your soul so we understand. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. Watch this. For the just shall live by, say it. So this life which Paul now lives, which is the life that I now live and the life that many of us live in this room, this justified life, this new life, this life where actually Christ lives in me. God lives inside my body. Pastor, you're out of your mind. There is no way that God would ever live inside of a human. Let me tell you something. Praise God, he's willing to live inside of us. And if he's not inside of you, then you cannot call yourself a Christian. It is the presence of Christ in you that makes you redeemed. Your body becomes the temple of the living God. He inhabits me through his spirit. That's what's so different about religion. Religion, they go and they cross themselves and they prepare and they do all these kind of things, and everything is external. Salvation is not external, it's internal as the Lord Jesus moves inside of you by his spirit as you believe upon him. Pastor, it sounds mystical. It's called a mystery. Pastor, it just doesn't sound imaginable. Read the word of God. Pastor, can that happen to me? It can happen to anybody that's willing to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, now, the life began by faith, and it continues by faith. The just shall live by faith. And I'm preaching to you on what is the Christian life, so you can recognize it and understand it. Last week, I took you to chapter 5, verse number 1, and I showed you that first thing that Paul talks about this new life now that he lives, is that it's a liberated or a free life. In verse number 1, he's encouraging those believers to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made them free. Free from what? Free from being entangled for the yoke of bondage. And so here's what Jesus had done for them. Many of them had tried to find some type of righteousness or merit through their obedience to the law. And it was such a bondage to them because all that that law, basically those Ten Commandments, was do is to show you how holy God is and how unholy we are. And so in man's stupid pride, man says, you want to call me unholy? I'll show you how holy I am. I'm going to keep your law. I'm going to do my best to obey that. I don't need somebody to die for me. I can do this myself. And so as man tries to find righteousness in keeping the law or doing good things, all that law does is two things. It incites my sinful nature, and it reminds me of condemnation. Pastor, those are big words. Help me understand that. Fine. Right. Exactly. I never want to walk on the grass till you tell me don't walk on the grass. I never want to touch anything until it says don't touch. Human nature despises being told what to do. Yes, we do, don't we? Don't you dare tell me what to do. Yeah. Human nature can't take it when it's not free to do what it wants to do. When my human nature is restrained in its unregenerate desire, it creates rage. That's usually how you know a man's tied to pornography, by the way. They rage. When human nature can't have what it wants, and it's being restrained, there's just this madness. We call it taking it out on everybody else because we're exploding inside. So all that the law does when I try to keep the law and get to heaven by doing good works is the righteous standard of what it takes shows to me I'm incapable, and it also frustrates me as it begins to incite sin within my life. Then it keeps me under condemnation because when would you ever know if you were good enough to get to heaven? Well, I would know when I die. Let me tell you something right here, right now, and you better hear it. You better know you're going to heaven before you die. If you're waiting to find out after you die, you're in big trouble. Man, I've been preaching good the last 3 or 4 weeks. How would you know if you did enough good works? What works are going to wash away my sin? Sin is like is a blot and a stain that can only be washed away by the blood of Jesus. So all these churches and all these people that are trying to do good and preach some type of self-justification and just live this life, and when you get to heaven, God's going to sort it all out and you're going to win. No. God sorted it out on Calvary and Jesus won. And if we're going to win, we're going to win because of him. Yeah, buddy. So the law, Paul says, we're liberated from that. We're free in that. We don't have to go under that bondage. We are in Christ alone. So think about this. Think about this. Just picture this massive gulf span. And there's no way to cross it no matter what you do. But yet, the bridge of the Lord Jesus lays down, and I'm able to do that. So God knew that humanity was in trouble. God knew that humanity would not know righteousness of themselves. God knew what the standard of righteousness was. And he knew that we were weak and void and empty of that. So he sent the Lord Jesus. God became man. Please tell me you get the answer to this question right. When was Jesus born? You better say never. Right? Jesus has always been. He's eternal God. Now, he came into the earth born through the virgin womb in that part, but Jesus didn't just somehow become existent 2,000 years ago. He is eternal God. So God knew you and I would be lost in our sinful condition, so he sent Jesus to become a man. Why did he have to become a man? Because a man took us into sin. A man's got to take us out of sin. The first Adam let us in. The second Adam's going to take us out. And was by one man's sin, many were made disobedient. By the righteousness of one, may many be made righteous. We had to find salvation through a man. That's why we have the God-man. So he came, sinless, lived a sinless life, and fulfilled every one of the law, every jot and every tittle. So when he died on that cross, as the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, his blood being righteous, shed for my sin. And so now, someone has done for me what I cannot do myself. Think about this. It only makes sense. If I can't be good enough to keep that law to go to heaven, but somebody was good enough for me, it only makes sense that if I'm going to get there, I got to go through him. So to say, no, I don't need you, Jesus, is to say, I can get there myself. Nobody's getting there themselves. So this is crude, horrible. Lord, forgive me. But when did you get on the Jesus train? Paul said, I used to live this life. Oh, I live this life now. This used to be all about me. This one's all about Jesus. This one's all about works. This one is all about faith. I'm on that road because of faith in Jesus Christ. If that's you, say amen. So this life has been liberated. I'm no longer in that bondage. However, it's not a life that's without law. So here's what Paul says. He says, just because you're free from the law doesn't mean that you get to live the way you want to live. It doesn't mean that you have a license now to go out into sin. It never is the grace of God an excuse for me to go and commit sin. So I can't take this freedom. Okay, I'm out from under the law, so now I find myself in a lawless position? No, God forbid. I'm not in a position of bondage. I'm in a position of freedom. But I cannot take the spiritual freedom in Christ alone and use it as a sin against my flesh or to expose my flesh. It goes this way. Well, I'm saved now, so all my sin is forgiven, so I might as well go and commit them. No. No. The Bible says, the evidence of a true Christian is, I'm ashamed of the sin I used to commit. I don't want to sin. I don't want to be in that anymore. So some people think, well, Pastor, I know this ain't right, but I'm going to do it. I don't have any other way out. And I don't see any other way out. I know God will forgive me. I know you may not forgive me, but God's going to forgive me. And so I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to get forgiveness later. That's called the sin of presumption. Listen very carefully. That is not how a Christian thinks. That's how the world thinks. That's not biblical. So the liberated life that we live is free as far as I'm not entangled to the legalness of the bondage of that law, but it's also not a license for me to go and to do whatever I want to do. I'm still bound by something. Oh, come back if you would to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, right? But, what's that word? By. Now, this is extra. You didn't pay for this coming in today. This is extra. We believe every word of God is inspired, do we not? Sometimes people come to me and they say, well, Pastor, I got one of those Bibles that got rid of all the these and the thous and the a's and the n's and the does. Why would you do that? If every word is inspired by God, why would you take those out? If God wanted thee there, he wants thee there. It don't sound good. Take it up with him. Told you that was extra. Come back. So tell me in your Bible, when you read verse 13, you got the word by there. Tell me you got it. But by, say the next word, love, serve one another, right? So Paul says, you are liberated. You have been liberated, but there's still another law in, that operates here. And it's the law of love. And this is what Christian people don't understand. This is why Christian people are so frustrated in themselves, and they're frustrated in their pastor or anybody that encourages them or preaches to them or directs them. And so Paul says, don't use this liberty as an occasion to your flesh. In reality, your liberty also aids in your love life. And the life that I now live is a life of love. And so instead of taking this freedom that you have in Jesus and serving yourself, you need to understand that there's a new law that the believer operates in. It's the law of love. And you want to use that law of love not to serve yourself, but to serve others. Jesus was asked about this himself. Go to Matthew 22, please. Come on. Here's where we'll turn. Matthew 22. I got a couple passages I want you to see and let you read about them. Verse 34. Okay, Lord, help me. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt, what class? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt, what class? Thy neighbor as thyself. Now watch this. On these two commandments hang all the what? Okay, so when he says on these two commandments hang all the law, here's what he's talking about. All the law takes you back to Exodus chapter 20, where you were given those 10, where the nation of Israel was given those 10 commandments. And if you divide those 10 commandments in half, you will find that the first half deals with man's relationship to God, and the second half deals with man's relationship with humanity, right? And so, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. All of those was what the law, how the law demanded that you behave when it comes to God. Tell me you got that, or I'll say it 100 more times. That is how the law demands that you behave when it comes to God. By the way, none of us can do that perfectly. The second part of it is how the law demands that I participate with my fellow humanity. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. So on those 10... Jesus said, really and truthfully, there's two that the whole law hangs on. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Prior to Paul being born again, it wasn't a matter of love, it was a matter of legal duty that he tried to perform to merit salvation. He says, but now that I've been set free from that, the motivation and the drive of my life is not a duty that is demanded by the law. It now becomes a delight that becomes a delight because I love the Lord my God. So where the law had a demand, love has a delight. Where the law had a demand, I'm not giving up here. Love has a delight. So Paul says to the Galatians, what you need to understand about this new life, or this life which we now live, is that it's not a lawless life where you just consume it upon your flesh. It really is a life that is tied to a new law. And this is a law of love. By the way, it began with love. Look, if you would, at Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 6. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Okay, protect me, Lord. So here's where we get real practical. This is what Christian people don't understand. Whose love is he talking about operating by? He's talking about operating by the love of God, by God's love that indwells us when the person of Christ indwells us. The Christian life is not a demand to a set of rules and regulations. That's frustrating. The Christian life is really should be a delight that comes from a heart that's filled with the love of God that also loves God. So listen. You're going to get ticked off if I tell you how to live your life. I live my life the way that I believe God wants me to live my life. But I cannot impose upon you a legal way to live. Okay? For example, there are things that I don't do that you might do. And there's things that you do that I might not do. And if I try to impose that upon you, let me show you what's going to happen. Galatians chapter 5. Look, if you would, please, at verse 15. But if ye, say those three words, bite and devour one another. Now let's be real careful here. As a pastor, I preach to you the word of God, both as it is written and both in principle, and all of us have a responsibility to the word of God. But as Tom, I cannot lay out a legal way for you to live. It'll be a frustrating way. And what was happening here is there's a biting and a devouring that was happening because of do's and don'ts and this and that and this legal way to live. However, there is a lawful way to live our lives as believers. As we have been saved, we now live in this new law of love. And it's a twofold prong, as it's the love of God in us, but it's my love for the Lord. And then it's also my love for my neighbor, right? So having said that, go, if you would, please, to Exodus 20. Come on, I'm almost done. Just, if I'm not real practical, you're going to walk out of here and say, what was that all about? All right, verse number 1 of Exodus 20. I hope you're there. I hope you're going to read it with me. And God spake all these words, saying, of course, this is to the nation of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. That's always a picture of redemption. Always. Out of the house of bondage. Now he goes into these Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt have no other gods, say it. What is a god before God? A god before God is anything that you put above God. It's anything that you put above doing what you're supposed to do. It's anything that's exalted above worship. For some people, it's a business. For some people, it's money. For some people, it's fame, or it's leisure, or it's whatever that's exalted above God. On a legal way to work, there's nothing that's to be exalted above God. However, for the believer, in the way that we live today, the only way that that's possible is not through some legal transaction, but the only way I'm not going to exalt anything above God is because I love God. Nothing ever do you ever, ever, ever personally let exalt over something you love. So if you love alcohol, nobody's getting in your way with alcohol. You will steal it. You will sneak it. You will divorce your wife. You will punish your children. You will lose your job. You will do whatever you can do because you love it and nothing will be exalted over it. If it's money, then you'll be a thief if you need to be. You'll be dishonest. You'll be crooked. You'll work your whole life. You'll sell your soul. But nothing will ever in humanity will we let exalt over something we love. We will destroy person, place, or thing if it threatens what I love. That's human nature. Except when it comes to God. So here's what Paul said. I tried on a legal way to approach this, but I realized that that wasn't possible, that things were going to be exalted over God. It wasn't until I had a love for God that I didn't let anything exalt over God. Tell me you got that. If I'm not going to let anything in my life, it's just normal. I don't let anything exalt over what I love. Therefore, if I love God, nothing's going to be over him. Shows how little we love God. Did you bring your tithe today? We'll start there. See, nothing is going to exalt. Personally, I'll never let anything get over my love, what I love. But this is what we don't understand as a church. As Christians, it's different. So go to number two. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Verse number five, thou shalt not bow down to any of them. When you go on here in verse number seven, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I would never curse God's name if I love God. I would never say, oh my God, if I love God. See, this is how you operate in this new life which I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And it's not where I live this life without law in lawlessness. There's a new law of love. And so my approach to God is not a legal way. It's approach from my heart. I love him. I obey. I worship him and I obey him because I love him. And as long as I operate by love, then anything he asks of me is simple. It's easy. The next ones, verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Theoretically, if the whole world was saved and we lived in light of the law of love, there would never be any need for the laws of the land. Never. So Christian, you ought to be the best law-abiding citizen there is. You ought to be the best neighbor on your street that there is. You ought to be the greatest lover that there is. You ought to be the one that's serving others. You ought to be the one suffering the wrong. You ought to be the yes man. You ought to be the one that's there to meet the need. See, we don't operate legally. We operate with love. It's a love to God. And it's love for our fellow man. And if really and truthfully God's people operated by this new law, we would reach people with Jesus Christ. Because they'd see a difference in us. A vast difference in us. Instead, well, I drink alcohol because I'm a Christian and I can do what I want to do. Well, I have liberty, Pastor, so I can do this and I can arrange myself here and I can have this affair and I get forgiveness here or I'm not going to operate neighborly to them because they mistreat me. And so the world kind of sees a legal standard of operation there. They don't see a love operation. And Paul said, don't use your liberty for the occasion of your flesh. Turn that freedom around that we have in Christ and serve others. It's not about us. This new life we live now is not about us. It's about him. And it's about reaching people that are lost and on their way to hell. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus Christ? So do you love him? Do you love him? If I love him and the love of God is, then I love my neighbor. This is how we operate. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Makes me analyze. Told myself I wouldn't preach past 12. It's 12:04. It's 12:05 now. I lied to myself. Let's pray.